Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Praise God, praise God. Why don't we do this? Why don't we receive communion? How about that? That's just a good atmosphere to receive communion. Amen. Let's look real quick at 1 Corinthians. Now let me say this. You know, the ordinance of communion, if you really get in to begin to study the subject of covenants, different words in the Bible, when you see them in the Word of God, it is written in such a way that it's supposed to, how can I say, it lifts up off the page the relevance of covenant. Certain words. Everybody say certain words. Now, the key word you want to look for in our communion ordinance is the word remembrance. Everybody say remembrance. You know, in the day in which covenants were very relevant, in which families would cut covenants based on one's weakness, the other's strength, the other's weakness. Maybe you had a family who could farm very well. They could take a piece of ground, remove the rocks, the brush, and in a year, you got beautiful fruits and crops and stuff growing. But they might not be able to defend themselves. So maybe another family comes along and says, hey, you know, we're a bunch of warriors and we have a hard time growing food. So, you know, we got this handsome young man. Y'all got this beautiful young lady. Why don't they marry? And why don't our families come into a covenant? Amen. You know, people that have names that sound like two names? That's where a lot of that came from. But in that covenant, they would cut across the palm of the hand and fester a scar that would almost be like a, I don't know what you'd call it, like a badge. Because when that was shown, that represented the covenant. That was called the mark of the covenant. Oh, we could teach on that for a little bit, and you'd be doing cartwheels around here. Amen. You say, why? Because God has put marks of the covenant in the flesh of mankind and of humanity. Amen. But that mark of the covenant carried an enormous amount of weight. Now, the marks of our covenant are secure today, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Upon his brow were they pressed the crown of thorns. The crown of thorns were the result of the fall. The Bible says when man fall, thorns begin to grow on the earth. The earth was never meant to have thorns on it. Isn't that amazing? He was scarred in his hands. It's where man would put his hand to the work of sin, of war, of pain and hurt. He had his hands nailed to the cross. His feet, man's feet took him all over the world to conquer the world, to harm others so that they might be comfortable, rich or whatever, have power, authority. Jesus took that. In his side, right up under that rib cage, right up into the sack of the heart went the spear. And out of the side of the Lord Jesus Christ came forth blood and water. That was the church right there. That's why the church is so precious, because that's the blood that came out of Jesus that purchased the church. It came right from his heart. Amen. That's why I've always been a stickler for the church. So he was scarred. Those scars are in heaven, kept by Jesus himself. Every time God turns, he sees two things. He sees the blood on the mercy seat, and he sees the marks of the covenant. And what does it do for them on their side of the covenant? It puts them in remembrance of those who have acted upon that covenant. Those that have believed in their heart, confessed with their mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, they have salvation. Those that take it however far you want to take it, with healing and blessing, serving God with the fullness of who you are, how far you want to go. God is an unlimited God. God is an unlimited God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, I've made this reference many times, but listen, things were not flowing good on the staff after the Last Supper. Amen. The main crew fell asleep in the prayer meeting. Peter gets up and whacks somebody's ear off. Next thing you know, they all scattered. Amen. The Holy Ghost inspired Paul to write it like this, the night in which he was betrayed. Here's the point I want to make to us. No matter what starts going on in this world, you got to keep serving God. So when the government's betrayed us, or this, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as we're not forsaken by God, we're okay. I said we're okay. If God forsakes us, then we're in trouble. But as long as we've got God, who said He'd never leave us, never forsake us, we're going to be okay. Amen. So notice, Jesus never quit being involved in covenant work just because there was drama going on in the kingdom. It said when he had given thanks, he still had the ability to thank God in the midst of all of that, knowing what was going to happen. When he had given thanks, the bread, he took the bread, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Now, if you will carefully remove the top on the host part, take the host in your hand. They're between your fingers. Now hold it up and just break it between your fingers and let me pray. Father, now Lord, as we break this host between our fingers, we very reverently and very humbly approach your throne of grace, recognizing the significance of this ordinance and what it means to break this little piece of bread. It recognizes that one day in time, at a moment in time, what you created, God Himself allowed His body to be broken so that we might be saved and so the power of the devil would be broken over us. Do we respect it? My goodness. Above anything else in the universe. Do we honor it? Above all others. Above all others. Is there glory in it? Our lives are the proof. Our lives are the demonstration of that broken body. So Jesus, in remembrance of what you did for us, in preparation for an awesome year, and as we continue in this service tonight, we receive the bread in your mighty name. He said, after the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament." Everybody say, New Testament. "In my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in." Notice, there's your word. Again, your covenant word. "In remembrance of me." Let me expand on that just a moment. Just through the scripture. "For oft as you drink this bread, drink the cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes." You say, what does that mean? That means we are proving that the death of Jesus works. Because death is separation. His death separates us from sin, from iniquity, from sickness, disease, you name it. The cross can get you free from it. Amen? And the life of God that comes after the cross through his resurrection restores you from it. Oh man, it's a package deal. God can do it. I said, God can do it. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily or in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." "But let a man or a woman examine himself or herself, and so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily in an unworthy fashion eateth and drinketh damnation to himself," notice, "not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, many are sickly among you, and many die prematurely or sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Now, here's the key. Listen, church. Notice the scripture that is here. This empowers you to turn the light off others, your judgment of others, and turn that light on yourself. And to make self-adjustments Amen. Yeah, I wish the whole world would adjust toward me. They're not going to do it. So I'm going to adjust toward Him. I'm going to adjust toward God. So it uses the blood. Everybody say the blood. Which is what? What's it, what does it reference? The New Testament puts us in remembrance. I love Brother T.L. Osborne was a tremendous crusade preacher, kind of before Christopher Alam was, T.L. Osborne was. A Korean man got saved who was a professional artist. And he was so touched, so overwhelmed by his salvation experience that he wanted to paint a picture of Jesus, but he pondered how to do it for almost 2 to 3 years until he had an unction. You know what he did? He took every word from Matthew through Revelation, he took every word and made a Jesus with his arms open to the world. Wow. That's it right there. So in the light of that, what do? Judge ourselves. Not what has everybody else been doing, what have we been doing? Why do we do that? So that the Lord has a liberty to chasten us so that we will not be condemned with the world. And the Bible says His chastening is not grievous. That means He doesn't hurt us to correct us. And let me just throw something in there. He doesn't use the devil to whip His kids. So if it's of the devil, it's of the devil. Now carefully, especially if you've got kids around you, maybe that might be all in service. Carefully open your... Now think just a moment. Of the holiness. You know, we stand and all we see is the natural. But if for a second you could glimpse the Spirit, you would see all across this place angels with folded wings, waiting for my words as I talk about this. Just waiting. Angels with you, around you, they're all around. There's a presence here that's unique to heaven, an atmosphere here that's unique to heaven. This is the type of place on earth the devil hates because he knows there's light here and there's life here. Amen? And as we take a symbol of something that is real, have you ever thought about somewhere out in the vast expanse of the universe is a material thing? You say, what do you mean? There's a person out there somewhere with a body like yours, with flesh like yours. But in His veins is the glory of Almighty God. And He's just as material and just as real as you are. And the blood that's on that altar is just as real as the juice that is in this glass. But it's blood. And it's fresh. And it's God's covenant with us. Written in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Wow. Heavenly Father, the miracle of the virgin birth placed in the veins of our Lord Jesus a purity of blood unknown to the human race, the blood of God Himself. That blood was shed 7 times and offered once on our behalf. A demonstration of Your love, Your compassion, and Your willingness to restore. And tonight, with great honor, unto You, Lord Jesus, we judge ourselves. Forgive us where we've missed the mark, where we've not walked in love, missed opportunities to witness, our apathy, our complacency, our unwillingness. Forgive us. We beg Your pardon, Lord. We appropriate the blood of Jesus, which Your word declares cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Now, in great honor of the blood of Jesus, receive of the cup in His mighty name. Praise God. Excuse me, in your Bible, turn if you will to the book of Acts, just for a few moments here. Hallelujah. I still just sense a powerful anointing here, so I know that the Spirit of God's not finished with us. Now in Acts chapter, let me find it here. Maybe on my next page. It's actually in Acts chapter 3. Now in my King James, it's called Peter's sermon. Now that's the sermon that he preached. And this sermon was not the initial Day of Pentecost message that started the church. This was after he was persecuted by the Sanhedrin. And he's basically responded to them and he's preaching them a message. Verse 17 says, this is in Acts chapter 3, it says, "And now, brethren, I want not, through ignorance you did it." Well, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about crucifying Jesus. And he's saying to them, now, brethren, I want not, through ignorance you did it, as also your rulers. Now, let me just say this. Let me help you a little bit with the mindset of the Sanhedrin, what they were wanting to do. Initially, they kind of had an inkling that Jesus may be this dude that can come in there and set up this government. You know what I'm saying? This civil government. But more and more as they begin to see, you know, well, this ain't him because he's not going in no political direction for sure. They determined that it was right for one man to die for the sins of the nation. That's what they determined in their own heart. You can go read it. You can go study that in the Word of God. But in their foolishness, the Bible says that if the princes of this world would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Well, if that was the case, Jesus would still be alive today. Because nothing that was in him caused his death. It was what was in us. It was our sin that caused his death. Amen. Now, he's kind of bringing them around the corner on that and kind of reminding them all of that. And he says, you know, he said, "By those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer." Now notice this, "he hath also fulfilled." And everybody screamed, "Hallelujah, he's fulfilled it." That means it's ours. You understand the concept. As long as Israel, listen, as long as they embraced what it meant to have the Messiah and what all of it meant, which we enjoy the benefits of that today in this acceptable year of the Lord that we live. Amen. Listen. They did not realize that this was their entrance into the next covenant. And the reason they did not realize it is God didn't let them. You say, why not? Because of you. Amen. Because Christianity would have ended up a sect of Judaism. But thank God for Cornelius. So he's reminding them all this craziness. Now notice, and he says, I'm telling you, dudes, listen, guys, it's been fulfilled. He's Isaiah's prophecy. He's the fulfillment. He was wounded for our transgression. He was the stone that you builders have rejected. He's basically sticking it in their face. Then he comes back and says this, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord." Now, you know, I've even used this scripture in a reference. Spirit of God begin to move, begin to talk about this being an event maybe in a service. Amen. Where the Spirit of God would fall in a service. People would get refreshed. I've been in many services like that. But in reality, if you break this down, this is not referring to that at all. Well, what's it referring to? Number one, that these religious men would repent. Now that literally means to take a completely different course and go in another direction. He's giving them the word of salvation that they need. Now, I don't know how legitimate this is, but there are some writings that have taken place outside of the Bible that refer to things that have happened. One of them is a writing. I forget the name of the book. I'd have to go look at some of my notes to find the name of the book. But it talks about an experience Gamaliel had with Jesus. We're right. He was literally on his deathbed. And Jesus stood before him. And he cried out, "The Nazarene, the Nazarene. You're really the Messiah." And accepted Jesus on his deathbed. I mean, that's kind of a well-known kind of story that's been told and been written. And how amazing that God would have the grace and the mercy to even save the ones that hung his son on a cross. made the decision to do it. You say, why? Well, they did it ignorantly. That's what Peter's saying. But he says, now that it's happened, these things have been fulfilled. Didn't happen in a vacuum. Didn't happen, you know, behind a tree somewhere. This happened out in public for all to see. And he is risen from the dead. And we are witnesses. They knew that. That man would not have walked at the Gate Beautiful if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. They knew it. But he tells him, now this, in this phrase though, even though we can have an event in a service where the Spirit of God can fall, bring great refreshing. Notice, break it down. Notice what this says. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out. That's the remission. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ before was preached unto you. Now notice, let me read it in the Amplified. I think it's the Amplified. I looked at so many translations. It says, and now you must repent, turn back to God, so your sins will be removed, so the times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence. Everybody say, Lord's presence. And he will send you Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one for you, for he must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things. Now notice that phrase. He will send you Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one. Now he's actually saying this. These times of refreshing in your life, God sends you Jesus and he brings your answer. This is what he's saying. And this answer is going to cause a refreshing to come to you because you've gotten your answer now in answer form. Amen. You've gotten it in seed form. You've gotten a word from God. Amen. Now, I marked a couple of things that are very unique to this scripture. I got these funny symbols I put here. Let me get them here. All right. To repent, not to continue in the same mindset and lifestyle, but notice this, but to return home and set up your life as if you have. You say, no, wait a second. What is that saying? Listen to it in the King James. It says, be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, he shall send Jesus Christ before you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Now, he is literally saying this. God's done it. He's finished it. This dispensation has started. Now look what we're doing. We're sitting here going, this dispensation is ending. We're at the other end of this. And he says, and what you must understand, this repentance that he is talking about, Brother Osteen used to say it like this. He says, you're called to go back to a place you've never been to. I used to think, what in the world? It's exactly what's being expressed in this scripture is you don't just, listen, and this is what we've done. We've gotten saved. We've gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. Then we've taken the Word of God and the knowledge of God and we've gone back into our lives and lifestyles and tried to live like that. Are you with me? When God says, that's not what I've called you to do. I've called you to come home. Like the prodigal came home to the Father's, come home to the Father's house, fully submitted to the Father. One translation says, act like you would act if you were in heaven right now. Set up your lifestyle accordingly. Amen. That's a little more there than just having goosebumps on your back in a meeting. Now notice. The word, your sins will be blotted out connotation. They will be obliterated. That nothing will be left of them. Everybody say nothing. Now, the rest of it, and he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you. One translation says it like this. Everything that Jesus has done, he has done to prepare God's stuff for you. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of... Do you know what he is saying here? He is painting the portrait of a picture of how God wants us to live. Now here it is. Not taking everything that God gives us and going back into a lifestyle trying to deal... But coming home to the Father, living heavenly minded. And listen, times are... You know what the word refreshing refers to? It refers to Adam walking in the garden in the cool of the day. One translation says this, God has restored your paradise. Now think about that in context of what we're facing in 24. Where God wants you to live in His presence, in His power, in His anointing, in His blessing, in His favor, in His protection, under His grace. When we make mistakes, His mercy comes in and restores us quickly. What did we say this morning? Putting a watch on everything about our lives and our spiritual walk. Making sure that the unholiness of the world does not cancel out our holiness. Amen? And then being wise enough with the holiness that God gives us to live in that cool of the day. That's literally what it means, that there is a possibility that in the last days there would be men and women that would understand their covenant with God to the point that they would be restored to the place in which they've entered into the Father's house and live as those that live. And it says it in the old covenant, but they never made it. Live and have days of heaven upon the earth. Can we have days of heaven upon the earth when the whole earth is going? Yes, that's exactly what God wants us to have. When the whole world has no peace, He wants us to have peace. When the world has no joy, He wants us to be full of joy. When there's no cures, there's no remedies, there's nothing they can do for the diseases they unleash and the ones that are here are occurring any other way by the devil or any other way, we joy in our God because He has provided healing power. Come on, church. Amen. You're not sick as you think you are. Come on. You're not sick as the world is telling you you are. Come on, church. You've got to rise up. There's another voice that is speaking. Remember that woman with the issue of blood? Man, all of those circumstances, they just beat her up. I mean, she was 12 years sick, issue of blood, nothing better, spent all she had, got worse, all of that information, all of that time. But then she heard of Jesus. Another voice is speaking. Another voice was speaking in her day. Another voice was speaking in her day. We have that same voice speaking in our day. So I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But I want you to know this time of refreshing is something that God wants us to live in perpetually. Not. See, I talk about not having an experience in a service. I always get myself in trouble. Amen. But the point I'm trying to make is not to be dependent upon that, because there are times when the Spirit of God does move. Amen. Where He does move. People yield to Him. He does move. And He breaks things off. And He puts things back together. And He restores. And He refreshes. And He blesses. And He blesses. And He blesses. And He blesses. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. Where's Frank at? Is he left? Is he still here? Maybe the rapture took place. He's the only one to make it. I hope he didn't leave. Go find Frank. Praise God. Lift your hands up and worship God. Don't you love the Lord? Don't you love the Lord? I say, don't you love the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There He is. He made it. Lift your hands and worship the Lord for a moment. You know, in prayer and intercession, much of the time I spend praying over the church, which is over you. Make a confession of faith, doing my part to keep us all healed. You got to do your part to grab hold of it. But in that confession, that healing confession, we've made many times, we speak of the mind, how God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I'm going to tell you where your weariness sets in many times is in your mind. Where you're just wore out in your mind. You've done thought all the thoughts you think you can think. And then the devil tries to come in there and do his part. And then some other circumstance. And it's amazing if you'll let it. It'll do everything from rob you of sleep to begin to empower old mindsets and old ways of living in which you try to bring comfort to yourself instead of depending on the comfort of God. Amen. I knew a pastor one time who was a really powerful man of God. Had a great church. All of his sons became pastors. And his daughter married a pastor. He went to the doctor one time. He said, you know, I just didn't feel right. He said, I wouldn't have called myself depressed. He said he went to the doctor and the doctor diagnosed him with depression. He said he told the doctor, well, I thought people with depression wanted to jump off a bridge. He said, no, those are crazy people. He said, people with depression just want to go stand on the bridge and think about it. I thought that was pretty apropos. Because that's what they do, is they all of a sudden that thought of destruction, that thought of whatever it may be, and the enemy knows how to wear you out with that kind of stuff. And I just sense in my spirit right now a great refreshing for the minds of people who have fought these battles. And I'm not saying, listen, there's a lot that's gone on this year that people have had to think their way through, pray their way through, speak the word their way through. Come on, church. But the Bible says, now, it says don't be weary in well-doing. Don't, which means there's a possibility of getting wearied in your mind. And when you do that, you become subject to depression. But it may not be, you know, what you think is clinical depression, you know, like they want to diagnose and treat. Amen. But that edge of excitement gets cut off of your faith, which is really your expectancy. Amen. And you really just begin to hope and really don't stay in faith. You just hope. Your faith works. But here's the good news. God knows everything about you. He knows what weighs your mind down. He knows, yes, Lord, I'll say that. Some of you, it's your children. You've got real issues with your children. And you've prayed and prayed and prayed for years and years and years. And every time I stand up here and do this, some of you have not yet seen it, but you need to see it and you need to hear it. I'm that example of the years and years and years that it took. I'm that example. But it happened. And I stand before you today, 40 years later after it happened. Amen. And God loves your child the same way. He loves them. He doesn't want them hurt. He doesn't want them on drugs or swept away by some craziness of the world. He doesn't want that, just like you don't. So many times we carry that burden, so to speak. It weighs us down. But you know, it says over in 1 Peter chapter 5, to be sober, to be vigilant. But it also says to cast all your cares upon Him. And you know, some of you tonight, that'll be your answer for 2024, is to just let go of that wayward child, that one that's lost their way, the one that's confused, the one that, no matter what may be their condition, just to turn it over, give it to God, just give it to Him. Just turn it over to the Lord, just give it to Him. Say, I'm not carrying this child anymore, I'm gonna. And I guarantee you what it'll do, it'll open the door for a refreshing to come upon you and a new hope. And let me just say this. You say, well, I did that and it looks like it's worse. That's when you really ought to shout. Because that's when you really know God's doing something. Amen. Because the worse it gets, the more God's working. I know from experience. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you've got a wayward child, someone that you're praying for, believing God for, maybe it's a grandchild, I want you to come up here right now. I feel that 2024, we're going to see a return of children to the fathers, to the parents. Look at, wow, I had no idea there would be this many people. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, let me see if I can. I don't know if I can emphasize how important it is to serve God now. I mean, it is. It's so important. There's a lot of offended voices out there. There's a lot of crazy voices out there. But listen. We're fighting for the souls of people, man. Their eternal destiny. Without our prayers, without our intercession, and listen, without our work and our act, the people die and go to hell, and that's forever. And we don't, listen, if God can promise a Philippian jailer that beat the back of the Apostle Paul, his family, then God will guarantee you your family. You've just got to claim it. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to claim. Here's how we're going to do it. Number one, I know some of them may be raised in church, know the Lord, know the things of God. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray what I call the prodigal prayer. We're going to believe God that they're going to come to themselves. That whatever they're doing right now will become the pig pen of their life. And they will wake up, come to themselves, and recognize there's bread in the Father's house. Amen? Amen. Secondly, we're going to break the power of the devil. We're going to use our authority, the power of drugs, alcohol, immoral, illicit lifestyles. You say, what do you mean? We're going to break the power of homosexuality, lesbianism. It's not of God. It's of the devil, and it destroys people's lives, and it wrecks families. It destroys the family. Amen. So those that know the Lord, we're going to wake up the righteousness on the inside of them. Those that do not know the Lord, we're going to send laborers across their path. We're going to pray. Listen, we're going to break the power of the devil, and we're going to remove by faith every obstacle that stands in between them, and we're going to claim them for the kingdom of God. Now, as I pray that prayer, I'm going to pray it out loud. I'm going to pray it boldly. I want you to start calling out their names to God. I want you to do it. I told the story to Brother Tony Cook. I was up at Rhema Bible Training Institute at a prayer seminar at the same time I was going through a bull riding school in April of 1984. The prayer seminar lasted until the next Saturday, so I stayed and I went on the Saturday morning service because everything at the school was over with. So I went to the Saturday morning service, and Brother Hagin and Sister Aretha lingered over and invited people to come up and shake their hand. So I got at the very end of the line. And I walked up to them, and you know, I got a little more nervous the closer I got to him because he's a different duck. And so I started. So finally, I got up to Brother Hagin, and I put forth my hand, and I kind of was mumbling around. I said, well, Brother Hagin, you probably don't remember me, but I'm George Martin. And before I could get that out, Sister Aretha reached across, put her arms around me, and said, Daddy, this is Rusty. And he stepped back like this, and he did not smile. And he looked at me and he said, it's about time. Well, I got a word for every one of your loved ones. It's about time. I said, it's about time. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We close out 23 and we enter into 24 with a prayer, with a request, with a petition to you from Island Church. Men and women, mother and fathers, grandparents, stand at the altar tonight on behalf of their loved ones. Their children, their grandchildren, their cousins, their aunts, their uncles that do not know you, that are lost, that are undone, that are backslid, away from God, prodigal in their heart. So, Father, we come first of all in behalf of the prodigal heart. In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit from hell that has tried to capture our children, tried to get them on drugs, tried to get them on alcohol, tried to get them into lesbian and homosexual lifestyles. We break your power in the name of Jesus. We say you let go of their minds, you let go of their flesh. Father, we ask that they would come to themselves and have a revelation that there's bread in the Father's house. Now, Father, we speak to the righteousness that's inside of them. These are children that have been raised in church, that have been saved, that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and many of them have a call of God on their life. And so we speak to the righteousness that is on the inside of them. Spirit of God, you're still there. I know. I remember when I was away from God, how you dealt with me, how you spoke to me, how you haunted me. So we release you on their behalf to stir deep within their heart and to awaken a righteous seed in them that will not and cannot be denied. Father, you promised a Philippian jailer 2,000 years ago that he and his family would be saved. We claim that promise now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we lift up those that don't know you. Jesus is not coming to their life yet, but all he's looking for them, searching for them. We release laborers right now. Laborers, we release you. Be thrust forth into the harvest. And Father, we pray them across, Lord, on the television, the radio, the internet. Let it come up on their phone. Invade them with the word. Invade them with the word. Set people around them. Men and women of God that will show them compassion and kindness. We thank you for it, Lord. And we break the power of the devil over them. Ambition and ego. Sexual perversion. Drugs, alcohol. The spirit of this age. We break it in the name. Yes, Lord. We break that in the name of Jesus. And Father, I stand against the perversion of our gender. In this, quote, gender revival or gender revelation, that's a revolution that's going on. Father, we remind you, you said in your word you made us male and female. Male and female, you made us. So if there's anything more confusing, more daunting, or that is a greater lie, it is the confusion of that. So Father, we take authority over that spirit. And we restrict its activity on our behalf. We do not yield. We do not bend. We do not break. We stand fast upon the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now listen. Oh, Jesus. Some of you, I know, I've been on the wrong side of this. Your heart is broken. Your heart is broken because of what's going on with your kids right now. But let me just say something. Don't be broken. You can't fix them if you're broken. Listen, when I got right with God, my parents weren't broken. They got healed all that stuff. Even they put up with it about 3 or 4 years and they got healed of all that stuff and they weren't broken anymore. When I came back to the Lord, they were not broken. They were rejoicing. But some of you, your heart is broken. You're just brokenhearted over your. Listen, lift your hands and get healed of that right now. If that's you, if your heart is just broken, then lift your hands. And let God heal your heart. Let God heal your heart. Let Jesus heal your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You know what Jesus said? He said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Give him access there. Let him heal your heart. Let him heal your heart. Nothing can wound a parent more than a child. Nothing can hurt a mother more than her daughter or her son. Nothing can hurt a father more than her son or daughter. But thank God. Thank God. Thank God. You're a righteous man. You're a righteous woman. You pray a prayer of faith. God is working on behalf of your child. I want you to say that. I want you to say, God. Now, hold on. When I say, is working on behalf, I want you to name their name. We're going to say that 3 times. God is working on behalf of. God is working on behalf. God is working on behalf. God is working on behalf. Come on, say it. God is working on behalf. God is working on behalf. God is working on behalf. I seen God working on your kid just the other day. Just the other day. I seen it. I said, oh, glory. I seen it. See, I run into your kids sometimes. You say, what do? I bless them. I go over and hug them. I bless them. Bless your children. Bless your children. Bless your children. Well, they're rebellious. Bless your children. That's something that just broke me. My mom and dad, they blessed me. When I was rebellious, they blessed me. They blessed me. They covered me with blessing. Why would they do that? Love. divine love, agape love. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray in the Holy Ghost here a moment. You can go be seated. You can go be seated. You don't have to stand. Just go be seated for a moment. Lift your hands and worship Him. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Your presence is in this place. Your glory is in the house. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we worship You. Just linger in His presence. Minister unto the Lord. Linger in His presence. Thank You, Lord Jesus. How we worship You, Lord. Glorify Your holy name. Righteous and holy are You. Worthy to be praised. Oh, we glorify Your name. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Give Him honor and praise. Give Him honor and praise. Give Him honor and praise. How we worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. So rabaha ibakira mandeboasu. Rose menemendia barasus terebokoria bakatelesur rambalaha sus terebeti. Resur rabokatelebeti andalasus terebotu. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now, this is unusual because I don't need to see who you are or pray for you. But you have a choice to handle a situation with a rough hand or a tender hand, and the Lord wants you to handle it with a tender hand. So whoever that's for, you need to hear that, because you could handle it with a rough hand and you think you'll get some results because of whatever authority or whatever. But God says, if you'll handle it with a tender hand, I'll give mercy. I'll give mercy. Wow, isn't that good? The wisdom of God is so amazing. You say, how'd you come up with that? Are you kidding me? Come on. Don't come up with that stuff. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Be careful in business decisions. Yeah, yeah. Especially in dealing with the government. Because, 2024 is going to be a year in which government will say one thing and do another. Say one thing and do another. And people will say, how can that be? Say one thing and do another. But it will literally become the status quo. Of saying one thing and doing. Thank You, Lord. Then the Lord gave us a word. It's been 2 years now. He said they will initiate things, lose control. Now what they've lost control of is going to control them. Whoa. Who'd have ever thought? Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. I know, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about money. As faithful as you have been, God will be even more to you. Don't worry about money. Yeah, thank You, Lord. Money will find you. Money will find you. Actually, yes, I see that, Lord. It's looking for you now. Hallelujah. Money will find you. Finances will find you. Blessing will find you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Stand on your feet if you will. I'll pray a prayer of dismissal. Then listen, hang around for a little bit. Shake a hand. Maybe somebody you haven't met yet you want to meet. Amen. Say hello to somebody. Don't just rush out of here. The whole world gathers, gets drunk, does stupid stuff. Why don't we just hang around? Bless each other. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your mighty presence here tonight, for your glorious power, for your word, hallelujah, and for your great and precious promises. We're so thankful for how you protected us in 2023. Lord, just amazing. As we traveled to the nations of the world, as we lived life here on Galveston Island, Galveston County, we're thankful. We're not ungrateful. We're so thankful. We see how you have protected us. So we claim, as we go into 2024, a grace from heaven, bringing protection and safety on the highways and byways, the airways, seaways, railways, any other way of travel or transportation, in the righteous labor of our hands. Lord, as we're out in the community, as we're out, Lord, even in recreation, doing different things out in nature, Lord, we claim your protection and safety. We thank you for an effectual door, a boldness to preach the gospel. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have revival in seed form, but that seed has been planted and has been watered by prayer and giving and being devout, fearing God. And we know, Lord, you're bringing divine instruction and divine connection so that there might be an outpouring like we've never experienced. We're so thankful. Oh, we're so thankful. Thank you for our children. We surround them with faith and love. Call them the blessed of God. The blessed of God. Thank you, Father, for every business, blessings, increase. No accidents, no trauma. We thank you for it, Father. For every person in the workplace, that they would be compensated correctly, not passed over for raises or promotions, but as they have worked as unto you, Lord, reward them appropriately, Lord. Let your favor be upon us all. Thank you for the knowledge of your will and all spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of you, Lord. Be fruitful in every good work, increase in the knowledge of God. But most of all, Father, let us be sincere and without offense, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. As we leave tonight, we bless you, Lord. We bless you and love you, Lord Jesus. We bless one another. Thank you, Father, for all the wonderful things you're doing. We leave tonight as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church, we are covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.